Warning, this is the Freedom Fiends midweek non-radio podcast. Unlike our weekend live talk radio shows, where we adhere to all regulations and community standards, this cast may contain cussing and or prurient subject matter. If you are easily offended, please leave now. But tune in Saturdays and Sundays to our live talk radio show. If you're not easily offended, prepare to be entertained, informed, and enlightened.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com.
That is in the house. Any day now he'll come out. Oh, God is in the
house. God is in the house. Mr. Ellis. What do you think, Nima?
Think we should cover this,
change it to
the state is in the house.
How would we do it? It'd be a lot of work.
Oh, we're recording.
Take off the echo.
Echo.
Oh. Yeah. It'd be a lot of work.
Well,
yeah.
To sound like Nick Cave, sounding like Glenn Campbell jamming with lesbian seagull author Engelbert Humperdinck.
Well, how would we do it? Would we break it up into chunks and have you sing the Nick Cave parts, and then I do some rap clarification in between them?
No.
What would we do?
No, what I was thinking is just having
a true cover
with different words. The state is in the house. Where you would just play, what you'd probably send me is just piano, a loop of you playing the whole thing through. It just repeats over and over, with another track of lightly cymbaled drums, and then maybe some place that it rocks out. No, I just want to do a straight cover of it. I'd play bass and a little guitar on it, and then we would write the lyrics,
and
I'd sing. Yeah, no, I'm not singing hip hopping it up.
I just what want do you mean you, we'd write the lyrics?
I just like want you. I just want you to play piano on my Nick Cave cover, basically.
I'll do music for it. Yeah, and then. As far as changing the lyrics, would it just be changing God to the state? We'd be replacing God off the song with the state?
Some of it would – some of his lyrics would work. You know, we got a woman for a mayor.
Yeah.
We breed our kittens white so we can see them in the night. We've got a tiny little force, but we need them, of course, to save the kittens from the trees. Yeah, we'd just change some of it. Just change it so it's not yelling at God but yelling at the state, because it does kind of – touch on nannyism, but it's putting it in a light of religious nannyism where it comes out as state nannyism, but I would just make it state nannyism. You know, it's basically a song about the America of the mind, or maybe an America of an Australia of the mind, because he is from Australia. And I do want it on record.
Is that why he sounds funny?
I do want it on record that I've been into Nick Cave since before your hipster friend who was into Nick Cave was born, probably. Because I was I was in his band, The Birthday Party, and in the early 80s.
You were in his band?
I was into his band. Yeah, before he was hip and before they used him in Hollywood films. Yeah, I dated this girl named Anne in Charlottesville, Virginia, and our song was Deep in the Woods by Nick Cave, which is a song about a murder, like a lot of his songs.
Right. Isn't every Nick Cave song about a murder? Except for this one, but I didn't listen to the whole thing. Maybe that's what the last minute is about.
Nah. Right? There is some murder. There's some aggression mentioned in it. There's roaming packs of gays in it. Mentioning it of how we don't have that in our little town. That's in the big cities is what he's saying. Yeah. It's basically from the viewpoint of some statist in some America of the mind in their cozy little town where nothing ever goes wrong. And,
But they think that nothing ever goes wrong because of the thin blue line, because the cops are in the town, right?
Yeah.
Because there's a bear cat that they just got.
Yeah. I just want to update it and take the church out of it and replace the church with the state and have a separation of church and state. So I'm not really after the church.
Yeah.
I'm really after the state. And you brought up the thin blue line. I like that. Nice segue.
I'm the same way.
Act three.
It is. But we'll ponder a little bit on your thought there about, hey, man, I'm not against God. At least that's not what my righteous indignation is pointed at, or religion, or whatever it is. But a lot of people are.
With Chris Cantwell, which is going to be a nice segue there. Chris Cantwell is one of those. His blog says, you know, it's an anarchy symbol, and it says no gods, no leaders, which is a thing I've heard. But it's kind of weird because there's a lot of Christian anarchists out there, like our friend Mr. Ben Stone.
Hi.
Yeah, so Nima's rebooting, and today we're going to talk. Today's episode is called MWD Quits the FSP. You got that, Nima?
Yeah, what's up?
Today's episode is called MWD Quits the FSP.
Were you a member? I didn't know you were.
Well, let me play some stuff from last night's Free Talk Live. And then we'll segue into this. Or do you have some more pre-discussion? Do you want to talk about Ed Schultz and how he was actually making sense today?
No, I think that's for later. I don't think that's pre-discussion. Okay. That's meaty. That's meaty fiend's meat. We gotta put that in the middle.
Here we go. Let's get this up here.
On Free Talk Live.
No, but I think that's a question that a lot of people need to ask. And I also think that people are using both Cantwell and Kokesh inconsistently. People say that they've done provocative things, and I don't think that equates aggression. I want to bring up, I think it's a Genesis Network advertisement that comes up for Guns and Weed. And whenever I listen to the show somewhere in public and that advertisement comes on, I'm like, oh, you know, this is going to paint me such a violent person. And, you know, so I understand, but at the other hand, I haven't heard anyone really criticize Guns and Weed, or I think that's out of Arizona, isn't it? The
Guns and Weed is a movie that Michael W. Dean created from the Freedom Fiends with his partner, yes. Nima Vedati. It's an excellent film. It's very well thought and well researched, well written, well shot, and it's a great outreach movie. To show to people who support decriminalization or legalization of weed, and also support gun freedom, because it helps, I think, unite both sides of that. So right. I'm not sure you're saying that by listening to that commercial in public, it's embarrassing to you?
Well, the commercial itself has gunshots. It has shotgun, you know, clicks like mm-hmm. Adam Kokesh did on Freedom Plaza or wherever that was.
Not clicks.
It has a quote says the Second Amendment says that you have to keep your weed and your gat intact.
That's not what it says.
No.
Let's play the ad to show him.
Okay.
Where he's
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends because there's no such thing as half free.
Yeah, it doesn't say keep your weed and your gat intact, man. That guy's just wrong.
Because there's no such thing as half free.
This ad, Guns and Weed.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Yeah, you and your gat, not your weed and your gat.
Yeah, is he implying that I am weed?
I guess.
I wish I was.
You don't smoke it anymore, but you smoked so much that I guess you would.
Maybe
you
know. I have become. Yeah,
it's like when they asked Salvador Dali in that Playboy interview so many years ago, do you ever taken LSD? And he says, I am LSD. Like, I don't need that. Look at my work, man.
So, hold on. Is that's the whole ad? We listen to the whole thing?
No. You want to hear the rest of it?
Yeah, maybe there's something I'm missing here. Maybe
Guns
it is violent.
Weed,
I don't know.
The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
That's it.
Yeah. I forgot how funky the back music was.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, how's that any more violent? It sounds to me like a movie trailer, right? In mainstream movie trailers, there's gunshots and explosions and this eight. So
in a world Yeah.
Yeah. What was he? What was he talking about? Yeah, let's. Okay. Here we go.
I don't know, but let's listen to his reply on it. And he wrote me a really long email that I'm not going to read all of because we have too much other stuff to cover today. But I did just want to address this.
Okay.
Saying that I think he was kind of agreeing with us a little bit that people saying things and delivering a message a certain way can turn people off
against you. Yeah, if they don't know the whole message, if all they hear is a gunshot or something like that, and they jump to conclusions. And certainly if they see you blasting away on some cops, they're going to jump to some real fast conclusions about that. And so I think people really need to think. And I agree with you, Michael, that people do need to think about this issue. And I'm glad from that perspective that Chris Cantwell has forced it to the forefront again, because it is an important one. And I thank you for the call tonight. There's more coming up.
The guy's name was Michael. It wasn't me he's talking to.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, I know. Show is a reflection of the listener. Yeah, and then you called in and you responded. Yeah. Do we have that?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, I looked at it earlier today. I can pull up.
Or GCN.
Michael.
Hey, how you doing? A couple things. One is I wanted to address the last caller who had an issue with us using the shotgun sound in the ad. I guess it might scare people who are listening to him listen to The Fiends or LRN or GCN. And another thing I want to say is while I do agree 100% with Ian about violence is not the answer, and I am a gun guy, but I'm never going to go after anybody who isn't pointing a gun or a weapon at me at the time. I think you were wrong about what you said about Larkin Rose. His thing is different from what Cantwell's saying. Larkin Rose's thing is not advocating shooting cops. It is saying that in his opinion, people who say they believe in the Second Amendment but are shocked at the idea of shooting a cop are having some disconnect, because he's saying that was the original intent. He's not saying it's time or it's ever going to be time. You should go check it out again.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at it earlier today. I can pull it up here in a moment and pull that up. But and I understand that Larkin Rose has a lot of fans who are coming to his defense on this, but here it is at the very end of his article, which is entitled "When You Should Shoot a Cop," which, by the way, is a much more incendiary title than Chris Cantwell's article about the Bearcat. Let's see here. Toward the very end of his article, he says the correct answer is – so the question, when should you shoot a cop? The correct answer is, quote, when evil is legal, become a criminal. When oppression is enacted as a law, become a lawbreaker. When those violently victimizing the innocent have badges, become a cop killer. And that's basically the same thing, except that's not just what Chris Cantwell said. It's actually more of a statement of what you should do now from Larkin Rose, because Chris Cantwell's saying he sees this in the future. He sees violent future. Larkin Rose is saying if somebody has a badge and they are violently victimizing the innocent, which they do every single day in this country, that you should kill a cop. And I'm sorry, that's pretty much the same thing as Cantwell.
Yeah, I'm not agreeing with Larkin's thing there. I was thinking of his video, which is similarly titled and different context.
Well, there you go. Yeah, so in that case, Larkin Rose should be booted from the Free State Project if they want to remain consistent.
Larkin's funny, though. I've never heard Cantwell, but is he a comedian?
He is a comedian.
I don't know anything about him.
I think Cantwell's funny. A lot of people don't think he's funny because Cantwell is fairly crass in his comedy. But I've enjoyed the comedy that I've seen him perform.
You said he's also a drinker or a recovering drinker?
He used to be a pretty heavy drinker, and this year at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, he was not drinking. He had actually stopped for a few weeks in advance of that. I think he's had a few drinks since then, but seems to have it under control, which I think is really great.
Yeah, I used to drink a lot. I was a lot more angry. I'm not now.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that certainly doesn't help you with an anger problem. And not living in New Hampshire also is a way to stay angry, I'm telling you. Well, I mean,
you always sell it. You do a good job, man.
True.
I got to commend you on that.
Well, it was my experience.
I'm actually on that list of people who are pledged to New Hampshire from years ago, but I'm
really
not there. Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's it going to take to get you out of your basement in Wyoming?
My windowless bunker? No, I'm not coming, man. but I want to talk about the gunshots in the South. I never, ever thought of the Guns and Weed ad, the radio ad, as being incendiary. And as a matter of fact, I'm really careful not to sound incendiary. And I, you know, listen to our shows and listen to your shows the way that, like, ball players watch the videos afterwards and try to improve their game.
No, I always thought your ad was fun.
I always thought it was fun and funny. But
I think that the shotguns are just because I don't like the whoosh sound that's used in ads, though.
You can't please everybody, Michael Dean.
Yeah.
I can't summon up the courage to listen to myself. I've only done it twice.
We're out of time, but thank you for the call, Michael.
All right. So a bunch of issues there. First of all, the guy was not being an idiot, and he wrote me, and we had a long email exchange that basically he wasn't out to criticize our ad. He was just pointing out like another thing, basically saying people should be consistent. Like if they're going to complain about Cantwell, they should complain about the Guns and Weed ad and Kokesh and Larkin Rose, which has come up a bunch. And Nima has kind of missed.
Just because there's gunshots in an ad doesn't put it in the same league as talking about shooting cops. Those gunshots are audio only. You can't tell where the bullets are going, and they're certainly not going towards a cop.
Well, he did point out something about the thing of it seems to glorify bears eating police. I just think that's humor and that's cartoonish in our movie. I mean, the whole bear thing. I mean, I have very vivid memories of being in your apartment with my little Zoom H2, giving your dog a giant soup bone to crunch on and recording it from about a foot away and then slowing that sound down to get the sound for the bear eating you or me eating me.
You were Dan Banning. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I guess so. I didn't even think about that. But, you know, maybe there's a point to that, too, that we get so caught up in our own world that we don't think about how other people are going to react to things. And I know you've gone on sort of an awakening lately and are trying to focus on making sure we don't scare people away, because people can tend to put libertarians into a category that maybe they don't belong in, and they just file people away in this mental category, and they disregard what we're actually saying because we're already filed away and they've already figured out who we are, and stuff like that can just go towards confirming their bias.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we're headed today. I had notes a while back that we never got around to that kind of play to this. It was some thread on Facebook where somebody made a meme that was really macho libertarian flashy. And, you know, there were hundreds of comments on it. And some of the comments were saying, like, I think you're hurting liberty when you do things like this, which I laughed at. And here's what I want to get at, and Nima doesn't even know the whole backstory of, like, Chris Cantwell wrote this essay, and that you probably don't even know that Chris Cantwell exists. I mean, this is a guy who...
No, I do.
Okay, there's a guy.
I know he exists from Ben Stone yelling at his ridiculous YouTube about how the Adam Kokesh March should turn violent and how he hopes it would because he thinks that we would win some kind of second American Revolution, or at least giving that kind of an impression, which
has gotten really a lot better. I think it's because he stopped drinking. I've heard he was a drunk and he stopped drinking. Ian was talking about that. He's done a couple essays lately that are really well written. I mean, some of his YouTube stuff that I'd seen was just like, what is this? It's just some guy yelling in a camera about violence. But he's gotten really good, and he's turned in a couple things, one to Cop Lock and one to Before It's News. The Cop Lock one was basically what Ian was talking about where is the line for self-defense. And I believe, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I believe it was saying something to the effect of would self-defense be legitimate if it's a cop? You know, and he's not saying let's shoot the bastards. He's not saying it's time. Maybe he is. Maybe we should read it, actually. I don't know if I want to give that much time to it, because there's a place I want to go with this, which is more – what I want to talk about more is the fact that he got kicked out of the Free State Project over this. And I am retiring from the Free State Project. I had forgotten until I was talking to Ian that my wife and I actually pledged like 6 years ago and then ended up moving to Wyoming, and we never pledged to the Free State Wyoming Project. And there's a bunch of people saying that it's inconsistent that he got kicked out of the Free State Project for this, because the Free State Project had Larkin Rose as a paid singer, a paid speaker, and was talking about similar things. But the pledge, the thing that's interesting is that the pledge for the Free State Project in New Hampshire doesn't have anything in it about not being violent. And maybe they should, I don't know if you could change a pledge retroactively, because it would only legitimately apply to people signing it later.
Well, you could make an amendment and float it to the people who had already signed it and ask if they agree to the addendum.
Yeah, but that would really hurt their numbers, because some of them wouldn't even see it and sign it, and they like to say their numbers. You know, I was making fun of Ian for, like, every caller he ends up with, so moved to New Hampshire, that's the answer. And he was doing that with me, saying, like, yeah, you people have anger problems. I can see that when they drink and they don't live in New Hampshire. You know, and it was kind of funny, because when I was playing – when I was looking, I chopped those two calls out and made an MP3 and sent them to you last night. And when I was looking for it, you know, I downloaded the episode and I was kind of doing what I call needle drops, where you like put the play part in on the computer in the program.
Exactly what it sounds like yeah, you're dropping like a needle on a record at different places.
And you just hit the space bar on and off till you find the part you're looking for. And I did three needle drops, and these were nowhere near that guy's call or my call. There were other hours in Free Talk Live. And it was like I did three needle drops, and the third one was Ian, not in an ad, but in a call saying, well, moved to New Hampshire. And I looked at my wife and we just laughed. We were like, I did three needle drops in a 3-hour radio show, and one of them was Ian's voice saying, well, moved to New Hampshire. I thought that was pretty funny. I love that he does that and he's committed to it. And it's absolutely the opposite of violence. So I'm all for it. But I'm not going to move to New Hampshire. I don't have any reason to. You know,
yeah. Well, you've got Wyoming, and Wyoming suits you.
It reminds me of either a religious person who goes door to door, or a newly sober AA person who's trying to sober up people who don't even have a drinking problem.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying it's like that, but it reminds me of that.
There are also people that are way more social than you, and need that, or feel like that's a big thing for them, is having a community of like-minded people or peers, even, to pursue liberty. Your pursuit of liberty is pretty much just done with you and whoever you talk to on the internet.
Yeah, I guess it's funny to me when Ian does it to me, because I think Ian knows, and Ian's never met me, but we've talked extensively so many times that I think by now he should know that asking me to move to New Hampshire would be like saying to your grandpa, you know, your 80-year-old grandpa, grandpa, when are you going to come down to the punk rock club, you know?
To listen to these rock musical bands.
Yeah.
All right.
So I just sent you I want you to read the difference between, I sent you the Free State Project New Hampshire pledge, and then I want you to read the Free State Wyoming one. I think the Wyoming one is a little better worded for what New Hampshire is suddenly finding themselves in.
Oh, this is the New Hampshire pledge. I thought you wrote this when you were pledging. I thought this was
well.
Your
when
wording,
you pledge,
no.
You have to copy and paste it. Or actually, in the Wyoming one, you copy and paste it. In the New Hampshire one, you click on a button, and it's kind of interesting because there's three buttons. One is that you'll move here. One is that you're planning to move here, and one is that you're already there. And the ones where you're not already there have an asterisk. And then it says, you know, like go down and click on this other part after you paste it or agree to it. And it's kind of funny because it kind of looks the way they have it presented. It kind of looks like their pledge has an asterisk. Like, yeah, not really. But that's just the way it's set up. It's not what it says.
Well,
but
you were all ready to go to New Hampshire. So don't act like Ian would be out of line for trying to convince you, because you almost moved to New Hampshire, didn't you?
No, we were going to move out of my wife and I were planning on moving out of California. We had that thought in our mind.
New Hampshire was on the
list. No, Wyoming was on the list. Before we became libertarian, this is like 6 years ago. No, like 7 years ago, because 6 years ago we pledged to the Free State Project. And then like 4 years ago we moved here to Wyoming. But we wanted to move out of California before we even had guns. It was like we didn't like the big city life, and we didn't like high taxes and high cost of living. And we did a bunch of research. I did a bunch of research online and got it down to 5 states. It was based on low taxes, low property costs, low population, weather, a few other things. And it was like, it was Wyoming, Washington State, Kentucky, West Virginia, and I forget what the other one was. maybe somewhere else back east or south. But we ended up, but then we found Free State Project and started looking at their stuff, and we found Free State Wyoming right around the same time. And both of those places had done a bunch of actuary work of what this state has over that state and posted it. And by then we had guns, and we decided Wyoming was the better place for us.
Because of the guns.
Right.
Okay. I mean, isn't New Hampshire pretty good for guns too? Can't you carry without a permit, or is that Vermont?
You can open carry without a permit there. You cannot conceal carry without a permit.
You can't
there.
Conceal you carry can without
in,
a permit.
You can in Vermont. Okay. Vermont's weird because it's got like the best gun laws for gun owners in the country, but it's also like one of the most liberal states in the country.
That's why they should secede like they want to. Enjoy. All right. But anyway, we have this is the wording of the New Hampshire pledge. Sign me up as a participant. I hereby state my solemn intent to move to the state of New Hampshire within 5 years after 20,000 participants have signed up. Once there, I will exert the fullest practical effort towards the creation of a society in which the maximum role of civil government is the protection of individuals' life, liberty, and property.
Hmm. Yeah. Nothing about not aggressing on people. Now read the Free State Wyoming pledge.
I solemnly pledge that I am able and willing to join the Free State Wyoming and its effort to populate Wyoming with individuals of demonstrably ethical character who, forsaking fraud, theft, and aggression,
Bingo.
Desire to peaceably coexist as reasonable neighbors for the goals of political liberty, free trade, and voluntary cooperation. By hereby joining the Free State Wyoming, I solemnly pledge my best effort to legally establish bona fide voting Wyoming residency. Preferably in Crook, Weston, or Hot Springs County.
Really?
Yeah. No later than 7 years from today. So there are some differences. There's no number threshold on the Wyoming one.
But there
is more time.
We are on the radio in those three counties. That's the only place we're on the radio in Wyoming, but it's those three counties. So.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I do like the forsaking fraud, theft, and aggression. You signed up? You signed this pledge?
No, never signed Michael? The Wyoming one.
I thought you didn't.
I signed the New Hampshire one, and then before we even decided to move to Wyoming, I kind of really thought about the idea of pledging, and it was distasteful to me. It was it seemed kind of status to me, actually. And here's my thing with the Free State Project kicking out Chris Cantwell. First of all, they do have in their frequently asked questions that you shouldn't be aggressive, but they don't have it in their pledge, so I don't really see that he violated any agreement. The second thing is they don't really have any democratic process for this. They basically have a 5-person panel that's kind of like a city council that's not elected, as far as I can tell. It's not the entire Free State Project that chose to do this. Now, I understand why they do this. He sounded like maybe someday I'm going to shoot somebody. And what organizations really don't want is for someone to end up on the 6 o'clock news and the 6 o'clock news to say Free State Project member Chris Cantwell peed on the Statue of Liberty's foot or something.
And that's the only time that the audience has ever heard Free State Project. And so forever they associate it with urinating on the Statue of Liberty or whatever the case was.
And this is why I don't belong to any organizations. And this is why I am formally renouncing my signatory to the Free State Project. And it's not an FU to them. And I was getting at it at the end of that call with Ian, but it was the end of the show. I called in, but I was on hold for a while. They put someone else on. I'm not blaming them. I know how that works. But I didn't have enough time to get it out. So that's what I was headed toward when I got to that. But I had to get in the thing that I actually called about, which was defending our commercial. So,
well, isn't Cantwell going to move to New Hampshire or already there anyway? I mean, this
isn't
going to affect his life plans at all, is it?
Right. Yeah, and
as far as he's concerned, just the 5-member council stuck their tongue out and gave him a raspberry, but that's not going to affect him.
Right. Right. And do you want to go make some cornbread and then we'll come back?
Yes.
Is that what you kids are calling it these days?
That's what we're going to call it for now. We'll be as cryptic as we can be.
Okay.
Or not. It's up to you to decide. Worms. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll show you the difference between leadership and authority and how to eliminate the demand for authority while remaining peaceful and even calm. We have a forum and it's got gardening tips. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. That's BADQUAKER.com.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to FreedomFiends.com.
Rolling.
Rolling.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say in 20 minutes we got to break again. That's our hard break right now.
All right. All right. And we'll do 40 after that.
Sure. How much have we done so far?
30. So okay. Did you just inadvertently pledge to both Free State Project and Free State Wyoming by reading those out loud?
No, that's fair use. I was just reading their words. That was for entertainment purposes only.
It's not like a magic fairy dust formula.
did the incantation?
In Tolkien.
If that's the case, I should still be a statist. I mean, how many times did I pledge allegiance to the flag when I was a kid?
Yeah. And
yeah,
like I said, I'm not quitting the FSP in solidarity with Cantwell or anything over that they fired him. But it reminded me, oh, I'm still pledged to that. I need to unpledge that because I'm not planning on moving and I don't pledge.
Right.
Which is kind of what I want to get at. Like, I understand why they banned him or unpledged him, because organizations that are any kind of top down think they have to do that. They always think they have to have some kind of information officer to protect their image, which is why I don't join. And this is probably the most important thing I'm going to say in this whole cast today. This is why I don't join organizations, is because when you join an organization, you have to feel responsible for the actions of everyone else in it. And that's just too much cat herding for this old anarchist, man. I don't want to do that.
Not only that, but maybe there's something to the fact that when something's top down and you have something like five people making the decisions, you have that need to control. I was listening to Jeff Tucker on the Bad Quaker podcast, and he was saying that about the Catholic Church with regards to Gregorian chants and how they felt this desire to control it. And they actually invited him to speak to them.
Yeah, I know about that.
And one of the things that Jeff did that I didn't know he had done was he apparently took all the Gregorian chants and just put them on the internet, just open source. And apparently since then, there's been a resurgence in the use of it, like so much so that the Vatican noticed it and asked him to come speak to them about what is this freedom and open sourceness you're talking about? It seems to be working because they're so ingrained in them that we are at the top of this giant organization. So what are we here for? We're here to control it. And so maybe the same thing happens, whether it's Free State or the Vatican, you know, as long as you have that situation where there's a hierarchy and some people are tasked with controlling, they're going to control.
Yeah. And I wrote a book called User's Manual for the Human Experience that I'd recommend anyone read who wants to have people work cooperatively in an organizational type structure without using hierarchy. It basically applies the 12 traditions of AA, not the 12 steps, but the 12 traditions to running organizations other than recovery organizations. And I mean, it's all pretty much theoretical. I haven't put much of it into work because I don't like to work with groups of people. I guess we both, you and I both kind of practice those principles in how we do the Fiends. So it's not entirely theoretical, but I wrote it before the Fiends and it's kind of a green book from a libertarian standpoint. I wrote it at the beginning of my journey of that, but a lot of people like this book. And I don't even know them. Like, I basically open sourced it. You can buy a paperback on Amazon, but you can also download a free PDF or a free audiobook of me reading it. And it's really popular. If you search the name of the book title with a hashtag on Twitter, there's hundreds of people who've tweeted about it. I guess it got recommended by some online book clubs, and a lot of people read it who never would have encountered Liberty otherwise.
It autofills in Google.
Yeah,
there you go.
I will link that in the show notes. I'll also link both of Rantwell's rants. They're actually very unranty. I think we should read some of his second one, not the first one about when should you shoot a cop, just because it's old news at this point. I think everyone's already read it, but his response that just came out as we started doing this show is pretty interesting. Why don't you read some of this about him becoming a porcupine non grata, as he says.
Let's see. Well, is this him writing it? I thought this is a blog post.
Yeah, he says
Sports News.
You know, he says Jody Gervins Underwood emailed me today. Yeah, go ahead from there. Porcupine non grata.
Jody Gervins Underwood emailed me today concerning last night's board meeting of the Free State Project and the motion to kick me out of this organization. Below is the exact text of that email, and then I will give you my thoughts on the matter. Should we read the letter kicking him out? Do we need that? Sure. Okay. Dear Chris, the FSP board met last night to discuss your situation and what to do. Our decision is stated below, which includes our reasoning. Whereas Chris Cantwell has made the following public statements, been offered the opportunity to retract, and has refused to do so, it's a terribly unpopular thing to say, but the answer at some point is to kill government agents, was the quote they used from Chris Cantwell. And, quote, any level of force necessary for anyone to stop any government agent from furthering said coercion, tax collection in the context of funding the salaries of all government employees is morally justifiable, end quote. Whereas the FSP board believes this view exceeds the right of self-defense, whereas the policy and procedure for removing participants states participants may be removed for promoting violence, racial hatred, or bigotry. Participants who are deemed detrimental to the accomplishment of the Free State Project's goals may also be removed. Therefore, according to the policy and procedure for removing participants, the FSP board removes Chris Cantwell as a participant and declares him unwelcome to attend FSP organized events. In peace and liberty, Jody, for the FSP board.
Interesting thing. Ian Freeman is far more of a pacifist than you or I. You or I would definitely disagree with his original treatise. But Ian is still welcome him to come on the show and welcome him to come to Keenvention, which I think is a thing that Ian's putting on independent of Free State Project. So Ian is adamantly against drumming him out of anything, I believe. I believe that's what he was saying.
I have a situation. Can we pick this up in just a minute? Do you mind if we?
No, all right. That's fine.
Muzzle not your ox.
So you had a dog situation there, but you dealt with it.
Yeah, I did. I don't know if Yukon was attacking another dog, but it didn't sound very friendly. So had to bring him back inside. But anyway,
I think you should ban him from the FSP.
I will, sure. Okay, I hereby ban Yukon, the one-eyed Alaskan Malamute, from the FSP.
Okay, so read on, brother.
So, here's Chris Cantwell's reply, which I will also agree with you before the situation that I don't really endorse Chris Cantwell's statements at all either. But here is his reply to the FSP board kicking him out.
The reason I'm having you read this is basically I'm just showing that he's vastly improved as a writer since getting sober. I've actually never read anything he wrote, but I've seen a couple YouTube videos now that I think about it, and they really turned me off. They were really just drunken craziness, man. But there's not a typo in this, and it's well written, and states his case very well. So
it's also really long. Are we going to read the first few graphs or what?
Why don't you jump down?
I'll read till you tell me to stop.
Why don't you jump down to extreme examples? That's kind of the summary of it near the end.
Okay. Extreme examples. I find it really funny how things get taken out of context and how people can't seem to draw a line between philosophical and tactical discussions. That's a valid point. Last year, it was paperclips. This year, it's killing the mailman. As if I'm actually advocating you shoot a little girl in the face for stepping on your flowers. People will always jump to these absurd, fictitious scenarios when they want to find something to disagree with you about. Every anarchist should know this by now. How many times have you been accused by some sheep of wanting to legalize slavery or child pornography?
Yes.
Sorry, I've been holding that coffin.
Nima has a hairball at memories of people accusing him of those things. The paperclip incident comes from a discussion about a burglar being shot by the Keene Police Department last year while trying to escape. A faction of activists from Keene claimed this was murder. I'm not going to read this whole thing. I think Nima's right. Are you back, Nima?
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry. Yeah.
It's I'll link it. It's well written, and it states his case and talks about how, you see, here's what I think. I think him and Larkin Rose both go to the extremes of macho libertarian flash and then maybe pull it back a little bit, or go to those extremes, don't really explain stuff, and then explain it in more detail of, hey, that's, you know, I'm not saying, I mean, he makes a good point in here of like, He got a traffic ticket last year in New Hampshire, and he had a gun on him, and he is not facing a murder charge. You know, in other words, he's not saying shoot any government official who aggresses on you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Here's where I land on the whole thing is, if we're supposed to be philosophically anarchist or anti-statist or voluntarist or whatever you call it, the whole concept is that people are individuals. You know, the concept of badges don't grant extra rights, but they also shouldn't grant extra prejudices either. And I guess the way I land on it is treat everybody as an individual. If the state is this fiction, if it's nothing but your mind and a state of mind, then treat it as such. And so in that case, I think the only time to use self-defense would be the same thing with a regular person. And if there's a SWAT team in your front yard of cops, it's not wise to do tactically. But at the same time, if somebody wearing a red shirt, you know, and maybe black Reeboks beats you up one day, would the next day you be justified to go shoot somebody that wasn't that same person but was wearing the same thing?
No.
Or was a friend of that person? No, you wouldn't be justified. And so I think you're continuing the fiction of the state in your head if you collectivize a group like the cops or government officials and just say, yeah, it's okay to kill government officials at this point or at that point. You're still lumping them into a group, which is what we're railing against anyway.
Read this thing I just sent you from this essay where he talks about Stefan Molyneux. This kind of gets to the nut of explaining what he's talking about. He's basically just asking the question, you know, I think, is it ever going to be time, or are we just going to peacefully hope it all goes away? I'm hoping on peacefully hope it all goes away, but then he calls me a slave for saying that if I do, so.
Well, my thing is that I don't think you win the war of ideas with violence. You don't win it with ammunition or guns or by shooting enough people to where the only people left are the people that agree with you. You convince people, you lead by example, and you win the war of ideas, because that's all that really matters. That's the only war that will ever bring peace, is winning the war of ideas. But I'll read what Cantwell has to say. He says, quote, I think the predominant line of thinking within the voluntarist community can be attributed largely to Stefan Molyneux, a brilliant man who I enjoy listening to. The strategy is a multi-generational solution, which means we allow this madness to continue for another 200 years or more. We leave this struggle for future generations to suffer through. We all die as slaves. We raise our children as slaves. And we hope against all evidence that reason will win out over force and irrationality, and eventually mankind will live in a world where the good guys always win. While this is a fine thing to desire, my study of history leads me to believe otherwise. See, my problem with his response there, though, is that if you try to win out with these ideas using force, then you haven't won anything. You've just become what you were fighting against, right? Then you haven't made any changes.
I also think that a big problem with any answer is that no one really has the answer. You know, if you take the Cantwell answer and the Molyneux answer, they're diametrically opposed. They both come from the same problem. They're solutions to the same problem, and they both have their flaws. It's kind of like someone saying who would build the roads. You know, I'm not us trying to have answers, like the fiends having an answer, which is basically just laugh about it till it goes away. Molyneux's answer, which is breed anarchist children and they'll take care of it. And Cantwell's answer is, hey, hey, can we talk about the guns at some point? You know, not necessarily let's use them, but just, hey, can we talk about it? Although when he was making videos, this is the video that really irked me and made me want to distance myself from him, was the video about the Kokesh March. People were saying it was a false flag, that he was a government agent trying to stir up violence. And I don't think he was, but I can see why people thought that. It was so fucking nutty.
He sounded like one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It really was. And that was my only impression of him, which is why partly your awakening that you've had recently of not doing stuff like that is such an appropriate thing, is because I will forever remember Chris Cantwell as that raving lunatic on the YouTube video talking about how there needs to be another American Revolution and the armed march on DC is going to bring it and we're going to shoot back and we're going to win. And that's how I always think of him, no matter how much I'll read from him otherwise. I mean, maybe I could be persuaded against that, but right now that's still how I think of him.
And he seems like a student of history. I think that a student of history would look at anything like that and realize there's a phrase that came up on the Free State Project website, Free State Wyoming website, a long time ago. And it's kind of interesting because Free State Wyoming has the no aggression, theft or fraud in their, you know, yeah, you have to say that in the I solemnly swear pledge.
Yeah.
Free State New Hampshire doesn't. Right. And in my experience, there's a lot more people who sound like Cantwell posting on the Free State Wyoming board. Now, they're not necessarily like what I would consider members, you know, like in-person in Wyoming pledge members. Every one of those that I've met seems like a good guy who's level-headed, but there's a lot more Cantwell-esque saber rattling on the Free State Wyoming forum, or there has been in the past, probably not now. But
well, if Cantwell's such a student of history, if he's such a student of history, shouldn't he realize that according to history, whenever you have a violent revolution to try to win out for an idea or philosophy, then you end up with either a continuation of the tyranny because the tyrants win, or the people who win the revolution then immediately become the tyrants. Oftentimes more tyrannical than the people they had deposed.
Yeah. That's what I was
getting at.
I mean,
look at the Iranian Revolution. Look at the French Revolution. Look at the American Revolution.
The other thing I was getting at was something something I've used a bunch of times. No, you added to that. That was good. Something I've used a bunch of times is the phrase 1,000 ruby ridges. And I didn't come up with that. I've used it in passing and just like never attributed it. I don't know who to attribute it to. Somebody said that on the Free State Wyoming board, like in like 2005 or something, like before I moved here, I was reading back posts, and somebody who I don't even know if they're still active on there was saying how a second American Revolution would not work. And they said it would end up being 1,000 ruby ridges, which is the likely outcome. And that's why, you know, not just from a moral standpoint, but from a tactical standpoint, you know, you're not going to get there at the barrel of a gun. It's not going to happen, especially now that there's drones. You know, I could talk all day about the moral reasons, but if someone just wants to talk about the tactical reasons, that's my reason. You know, when Solzhenitsyn said that if more of the Jews had just broken chairs over the heads of the Nazis who'd come to take them away instead of going peacefully, it might not have happened. I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, I think that they would have killed them instantly on the spot instead of taking them on the train somewhere, you know?
Well, because Hitler had the war of ideas sewed up. People believed him. They followed him, and they would have followed him to the ends of the earth. And you know, there's that book about how Germans thought they were free. They didn't realize they were living. You know, a lot of them just thought they were being patriotic. And the same thing here is when somebody dies at the hands of the cops or a SWAT team, even if it's really, really on its face horrible and tyrannical, people still end up justifying and making excuses for the state. Stockholm syndrome is way too prevalent in society right now.
If you want a really good example of how that stupid shit has played out in modern times, it's the LA riots, where you had, you know, a horrible thing happen to someone. The state, the police beat the shit out of somebody. Somebody videotaped it. It was before everyone had a camera in their phone, and video cameras weren't that common. Someone just happened to have one and filmed something that had happened a million times before in the world, which is horrible, but it's the cops beating the shit out of somebody for almost no, you know, for no reason, basically. And, there was, you know, they tried the cops in court. They took them, they changed the rules. They took them to a different town, changed the venue, and the cops were let go. And they were rioting in the streets where, like, basically it was open season on white people who had nothing to do with those cops, man. Nothing, you know?
Right. I don't think anybody would point to the LA riots as a good example of what needs to happen to get the state – to keep the state in line. Nobody would make that argument. But if there was a situation where, as Cantwell says, or I don't know if he says this, but this seems to be the gist of it, is we need to start fighting back, is people aren't ready for it. You would have unbridled violence that wasn't tempered by any thoughts to philosophy or the non-aggression principle or choosing targets. It would be like an LA riot. It would be violence in the streets, people doing random things. I think of that South Park episode where everybody's upset about the federal standards and the way you measure penis size, and so all the small penis guys go and start trashing Federal Expresses because they don't understand that that's not part of a federal government program that just has the word federal in it.
I've never,
you know, you
seen
would have
that.
A bunch
that's
of
funny.
Random violence that didn't make any sense. Yeah. Well, that's what you would have. Or like in Somalia, people point to Somalia, oh, well, they don't have a government. Well, they have lots of governments influencing what's going on there. But that's beside the point, is they didn't have a philosophical coming to Jesus moment where they decided, hey, the state is Satan. Let's get rid of it and let's all try to live by the non-aggression principle. No, there was all of a sudden a vacuum in power, and there's a lot of violence there.
They had a thousand.
It's just the state collapsed.
They had a thousand ruby ridges, and what was left was the constant war that people associate with anarchy. Right. Oh, you want to live free of government? Go to Somalia. It's not free of government. It's got a thousand little governments vying for things and a bunch of big ones.
Yeah.
Getting back to the LA riots. Do you got to go do some fooding?
Let's actually, cause we should segue there, but the LA riots, we've got a lot on that. So stick with us, fiends.
Yeah.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra, .com.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a torrent club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yeah, cornbread is done. So, well, that's like a euphemism you kids use for something.
It's code word. Yeah, I'm not telling you what it is. You'll have to figure it out.
I think you're actually making cornbread.
Okay, you got me. Yeah, I was making cornbread. We're making black beans and cornbread. It was supposed to be an easy Nima Cooks dinner solution that still gets to podcast before dinner, but
it's turned into a cooking show. Actually,
yeah, apparently,
yeah.
Yes, I am. I chopped up some zucchini. No, not zucchini. Some fancy multicolored squash we got at the farmer's
market. So the LA riots.
LA riots, that's it.
I didn't live in LA during the riots. I lived in San Francisco and I was a heroin addict. And it was really inconvenient for me because they declared martial law in San Francisco because they thought the riots were going to spread. And my dealer wouldn't come over to my house, man. I was dope sick because of that shit.
Wait, San Francisco declared martial law?
Oh, yeah.
How did that work? Did you have a curfew?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? So yeah. What would they do to people who weren't obeying the curfew? Like, here's what I don't understand about martial law is, what about some people who just didn't get the memo? Like, you know, that's not very fair.
It's selective. You know, if you're a businessman going to your car, they're probably not going to beat you up. If you're a black teenager standing on the corner, they're probably going to beat you up.
Oh, I see. Okay. So it's okay for white people. It's not good for black people. Got
basically,
it.
Yeah. Well, it's probably not good for white people that don't look like citizen taxpayers, you know.
If somebody looks like Jesse Pinkman, they're probably gonna have problems,
right,
as well.
Right.
All right. Fair enough.
So the LA riots, I saw this interesting documentary today, or part of it, called Uprising: Hip Hop and the LA Riots. And it was made by some hip hop people, and it basically, one of the things it talked about was how the song Fuck the Police by NWA basically became they were like, yeah, this riot had a theme song. Like, everyone was playing that. It had just come out. Everyone was playing it in their car, and everyone was spray painting it everywhere and screaming it out of cars.
This is a great song.
Yeah, there's a really good quote from a young Dr. Dre in this, from when he was in an NWA. He said,
when he was medical student, Dre.
Yes. He said, not all cops are bad, man, just like 90% of them. I like that quote.
Yeah. Percentage ratio is probably a little bit higher nowadays.
But. Well, this documentary also went into how the LAPD got militarized, which led to other police agencies being militarized. And I don't have all the names in this, and I'm sure someone's going to complain, but I'll give you enough to go look things up, at least watch that movie. There was a police chief before Daryl Gates. Daryl Gates was the horrible one that everyone blamed the LA riots on and blamed everything on that happened there. The one before him in the 70s basically got cracker white Southern boy military vets from the South and recruited them to be cops in LA. Basically went out and got guys who had military training and didn't mind being racist against blacks to stock the LAPD pond with them. And the term thin blue line predates, it actually comes from something called the thin red line. But the thin blue line is a phrase that people use to mean the police and how they protect society from anarchy and chaos in the streets. You know, there's a thin blue line between modern civilization and anarchy. That's what they say. Or between modern civilization and chaos. And
right.
That thin blue line.
There's another
the
school of thought that thinks that the thin blue line is protecting polite white society from the black unwashed masses, as
and
they
that's,
would probably
that's
it.
How this police chief used it. And I don't know his name, but he was before Gates. So if anyone wants to look that up and give us a footnote on it, that'd be good. And it's a really good documentary.
Yeah. Well, hey, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, that seems to be the gist of it, that he would say something like that. If he's the kind of guy that's going to recruit basically the KKK to come down to be cops in L.A., it wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, it'd be nice to have a footnote on that.
There was actually, too, there's footage in this documentary that I've never seen before. It was done by a black filmmaker at Ground Zero of the L.A. riots. And I'd never heard this story before of how this happened. But it was basically there was a church in South Central where the community leaders, right after they came down with the not guilty verdict, the community leaders in South Central met, you know, the religious leaders met at this church and had like a neighborhood meeting of what to do about it. And people who were really angry got sick of being in this meeting where they were talking about peaceful solutions and protests. And they just poured out into the streets and more people showed up outside the church. And they just finally said, fuck it, and walked up the street to, what is it, Normandy and Florence, I think, and just started fucking shit up. Like, it spread from this meeting after the meeting or during the meeting outside the church. And there was footage of it. There was, like, a black hip-hop filmmaker who had a camcorder, like, back when they were expensive and not many people had one. He had one there. And there was also a white news photographer taking pictures, and he got beat up. And basically, like, there was a crowd in the street and the police showed up and people started throwing shit at the police and the police got the order to just leave and they just left. And then that's when it started. And then it spread out to the rest of LA.
It looks like the guy who came up with Thin Blue Line was William H. Parker, police chief of LAPD. It looks like he died in the 60s, but, he was originally from South Dakota, and according to Wiki, they moved to L.A. in the 20s when the city was advertised as the white spot of America. His history may have had some resentment that it ended up not being the white spot when he was chief.
Yeah, this is the guy. Yeah, under Parker, the LAPD faced accusations of police brutality and racial animosity towards the city's African-American and Latino residents. There's a police station named after him, the headquarters, former headquarters of the LAPD, Parker Center, and he is portrayed by Nick Nolte in the 2013 movie Gangster Squad. Gangster Squad, man.
Well, about the cops, right?
That's funny.
Yeah. let's see. Let's see what Wiki says about his coinage of the term. It says it was coined by Parker. Parker's experience with the larger by per capita police force of his early career led him to estimate that fewer but more professional officers would mean less corruption.
I guess to him, professional
Sounds like an apologist.
Professional means like guys who will kick ass and get the job done. So he went and got the former KKK members, probably.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah. Professional meant not tainted by any of the lesser races in his mind.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. I did not know that, man. And I don't know much about the Watts riots, too. Apparently, did that happen during as a result?
No, that was
as a result of him.
Yeah, that was in the 60s.
Well, it says some critics see Parker as responsible for ongoing tensions between the LAPD and minorities, and he allegedly supported the city's racist power structure. And longstanding mistreatment towards its residents eventually led to the Watts riots of 1965. And I don't really know thing one about the Watts riots. Do you?
I know that they talk about them in the Dead Kennedys song Riot, which contains the line, burn your own neighborhood to the ground or something like that. That's the thing about riot. I guess they learned the lesson from the Watts riots in the L.A. riots because they went out and messed up other neighborhoods, too.
Was that it? Yeah. There's a Sublime song that I probably get all my coloration of the L.A. riots in my head from on their self-titled album. I think it's called April 26, 1992. And maybe we should play some of that. No, you tell me Sublime's supremely litigious, so I guess
yes,
we'll avoid it.
Yes. I know that from secondhand experience. Because they were high and drunk and told my friend Little Mike he could put out a 500 pressing 7-inch EP of their live show, and then their record company sued him.
Yeah, but in the song he basically says it wasn't about white or black or Mexican. It was about coming up and staying on top and screaming 187 on a motherfucking cop. So he points to the fact that it was all about F the police too.
Yeah, well that's not really true because they were basically beating up anything that wasn't black, and there were people who were involved in this being interviewed. And there was footage, and the Reginald Denny thing. I mean, there was a police there was a news copter flying pretty low to the point where like people threw bottles at it and they had to go up higher because it hit it. Wow. Filming Reginald Denny getting dragged, random white dude driving through the neighborhood, doing his job, driving a gravel truck. He should have just barreled through the intersection, but he stopped. And he got pulled out and just beaten with a tire iron by like 8 people. It was horrible, man. Wow. There's footage of that.
Yeah. Yeah. That is horrible. So yeah, I guess Bradley was wrong.
Did you hear about the
I guess that's the thing about riots is there's not ever one philosophy behind it. It's just a bunch of people committing random acts, whatever feels good to them. It's mob mentality in the Supreme. And so, yeah, I guess that's not what we want to have happen. And doing statements like Chris Cantwell's, which point to force and violence somehow winning out anything that's peaceful in the end, just all I can think about is situations like this where you have a bunch of people going out doing a bunch of horrible, violent things. And think about all the people caught up in the crossfire, all the collateral damage. It's no different than when Barack Obama talks about lobbing cruise missiles at Syria and how they'll minimize collateral damage. Well, tell that to the kid who actually dies. Tell him that his life was so meaningless that he can be chalked up as nothing but collateral damage as a means to Obama's end. It's all the same. It's all the same thing. It's all of the same kind.
And kudos to Ed Schultz. I was channel flipping today. I have never agreed with a thing that guy says. That guy is like the liberal Bill O'Reilly or something. He's horrid. But he was yelling at Obama today saying, you know, don't go into war in Syria. And he wasn't really fighting the moral fight. He was fighting the legal fight and the unintended consequences. Fight. Yeah, the practical fight. He was basically saying that Obama seems like he's going forward with this, even though majority of Americans are against it, and because he doesn't want to be embarrassed, and that he shouldn't be embarrassed to be. He said he's saying to Obama directly, like, don't be embarrassed by democracy. You know, if you go back and say the people have spoken, I'm not going to do this because the people don't want it. There's nothing embarrassing about that. And from a minarchist standpoint or a statist standpoint, I like that. I like even more that he, you know, he didn't come out and say the moral thing of you'll be killing innocent people, but he did say there could be vast unintended consequences of this that we can't even predict. You know, I think it's the thing of like, do you really want to start a giant fire in the Middle East, you know, in a powder keg?
Yeah, in a place that is ripe for it and has already had a bunch of giant fires in it that mostly has been a result of American foreign policy or Washington, D.C.'s foreign policy. I'll put the blame directly where it needs to be. But, you know, the thing about the unintended consequences, it's so spot on because people seem to be under the impression that once Obama does an action, somehow all the violence is just going to stop. And once the Americans weigh in, then all the problems are solved. How can people still buy that if you just take a look at Iraq and take a look at a place like
Syria?
Well, most
Americans don't take a look at Iraq now.
Yeah.
You know, where's the follow-up?
Yeah. Yeah, good point. But people like Phil Giraldi, Scott Horton, Eric Margolies basically point to the fact that this could be just nothing but the prologue to the book about the Syrian civil war. You know, and once Assad falls, if the Americans help him fall, or if the federal government in D.C. helps him fall, what's next? You have 1,000 factions each trying to kill each other to the death for the next 10 years,
yeah,
15
you said
years?
It, you said it well to me earlier today. You said if America goes in Syria, it won't be the end of the war in Syria. It'll be the beginning of the war in Syria.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then we're a part of it. And so I don't see any any beneficial interest to the average American or any American I can think
of. You said we. That's so ingrained, man. You said we'll be a part of it. You said we'll be a part of it.
Well, I guess in a way we will. I pay my taxes. Don't you pay your taxes?
I don't buy the we anymore because I have no control over it. If I pay taxes or not, I have no control over it. And you know what really catches me up when I find myself saying we for things America does are things that happened before I was born. Like I said the other day, something about we watched this movie, Fat Man and Little Boy, which is a good Hollywood movie about the development of the atomic bomb and how the scientists who were developing it, like most of them got together and signed a letter to the president saying, now that we're almost done with this, you can't use it. It's a horrible idea. And it talks about the fact that Japan was willing to surrender. It wasn't it was a conditional surrender.
Oh, yeah.
But since they weren't going to surrender unconditionally and America almost had the bomb ready, they just were itching to use it, man.
Oh yeah, completely. Yeah. And the thing about conditional surrender or unconditional is the Americans let them keep their emperor anyway, which was supposedly the contention about the conditionality of it. So it's not like it gave them any great thing to use the bomb. And if they wanted to just show their might, they could have exploded on an uninhabited island, of which there are many in the Pacific right next to Japan.
All of the scientists were suggesting a demonstration instead of
a demonstration.
Yeah.
And as to the Japanese surrender being imminent, another factor that people never talk about is the Russians had started to pursue war on Japan. And apparently the Japanese are deathly afraid of the Russians because there's some history there. And plus the firebombings of Tokyo and a lot of Japanese cities, which had already killed hundreds of thousands of people.
They killed more people than the bomb.
More people than the bombs themselves, because they were continual and they had gone on for a long, long time. Anybody who says that it was not a war crime, either you're ignorant or you're evil.
Yeah, but I was talking to DJ about it and I said something in passing about like, yeah, well, you know, and we didn't need to use the bomb. And I was like, wait, we? What? Is there a mouse in my grandpa's pocket? Who's this we? I wasn't even alive, man.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. I'll go back on my Wii. You're right. It is just so ingrained.
Wee kitty.
But here's the thing: is we as humanity will still face some of the more horrendous consequences if there are some.
There you go.
Of U.S. involvement in Syria. You know, there could be unintended consequences or longer lasting effects. I mean, how's this for a we? You know, if this thing gets worse and out of hand and it becomes a regional conflict, we, as in me and my brothers, are going to be much less likely to be able to visit our family in Iran. There's a we. You know
the Pete Ayer said something really brilliant recently. He was talking about he and another guy are going to South Africa to teach cop blocking, which is kind of mind blowing to me. It's like that is really putting your thoughts where your feet are. You know, it's going to another country and telling people how to film police, and another country that doesn't even have the mild protections that the U.S. sometimes has when people are accused of things. And he said in an interview, we're going to be really cautious about it. You don't go into someone else's home without taking your shoes off. And I thought about that phrase just struck me as amazing. And I was like, that must be a cliche. And I looked it up and it wasn't. He coined that on the spot. And then I was thinking about the U.S. The U.S. is more like in that Dave Chappelle skit where you've got what's his name?
Rick James jumping up on Eddie Murphy's couch.
Yeah, that's the U.S.'s version of taking your shoes off when you go into someone's house. You go in with big muddy boots and jump all over their grind them into their big white couch.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, and I hear people say things like, "Well, we can't turn our backs on the people of Syria," but do the people of Syria want an American intervention? I mean, nobody asked them. They just assume that for some reason these poor mud people, which is probably what they think of them as, would want the benevolent rich Americans to come and save them with their fancy technology, which is really paternalistic, and I think it's offensive to say things like that.
It's the white man's burden. It's that concept of the
exactly.
Not necessarily the white man in this case, but the wise – people from these big cities must go in and help the poor hicks and save them from themselves. It's the same thing in like in Australia, how they've like outlawed alcohol for the Aboriginals who originally lived there, you know?
Yep. Yep. Well, okay. There's a bunch of violence, drug war violence, which is caused by prohibition in the first place on the Mexican border. And sometimes atrocities happen. How would we feel if the Chinese started launching cruise missiles at select targets in El Paso and Tijuana, you know, just to get rid of the drug cartels? Would the average Texan be okay with that?
No.
I really doubt it.
No, they'd be stroking their bayonets and watching Red Dawn, man.
Right, exactly.
Well, I think I'm good. I'm not good. I'm great. I have one more thing I want to talk about. There's a There's a movie called Fitzcarraldo, which I highly recommend. I've actually never seen it, but I recommend the documentary about it and the death clock based on it. Fitzcarraldo is made by the director of Grizzly Man, one of my favorite directors whose name I have to look up. Who is that guy? He's great. He's great. You know, have you seen Grizzly Man?
Is that the one about the guy who went to live with the bears in Alaska and then he gets eaten by a bear at the end?
Yeah, and there's a bunch of found footage that he shot, and then it was made into a documentary by Werner Herzog. And I really like him in general. I like hearing interviews with him. I like movies he's made. He's made like 40 movies that are all completely different. They seem like they're made by 40 different people. But he kind of has a theme running through all of them. He's very German. He speaks with a very German accent. He actually is the voiceover in the latest episode, the latest season of Death Clock. Each one starts with this kind of dark German voiced voiceover talking about the impending doom that is about to befell our heroes. And it's Werner Herzog doing it. And he made a movie called Fitzcarraldo, which is about somebody having natives carry a giant boat over the mountain in the Andes. And there's a documentary I saw the other day about the making of it called Burden of Dreams. It looks like it makes the making of Apocalypse Now look simple. I mean, it makes like everything that could go wrong does. And it's a young Werner Herzog being interviewed in it in the 70s. And he's like, you kind of get the impression that Werner Herzog is an atheist who wishes he believed in God so he could curse God. And that comes up in this movie and it comes up in Grizzly Man. It's a fucking great movie, but
it's called Burden of Dreams. It looks like it's all on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably is. There's a death clock based on it called Death Carraldo, where they go to the rainforest and carry their big house boat thing over the Andes. They have their death soldiers do it. Death clock clocketeers do it. Their army.
And I'm sure many of them fall in the process.
Yes. Yes. And then they end up taking a hallucinogen with the natives called Yopo, which you take by blowing into someone's face with a big tube. And then they become their spirit animals and play a gig in the rainforest and everything dies.
Sounds like that's good fun, you know, for all.
It's really not a spoiler to be describing a Death Clock episode and say and then everyone dies. Yeah. You know
that's a foregone conclusion. Right?
Who knows Death Clock is going to say, "Oh, I can't watch it now. You ruined it for me.
I can't believe it." Because everyone bunch of death at the end.
Everyone dies at the end of all of their episodes, pretty much.
Yeah, sometimes in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Depends on the episode.
Well, right. Some people die in the middle when they're clearing a landing pad in the rainforest from the air with their big private military helicopters, machine gunning the desert and napalming it and setting it on fire to create a landing pad. And I learned something the other day that's kind of interesting. You know the phrase, the whole nine yards?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's not a football phrase. That comes from the length of an ammo belt on a 50 cal machine gun. So giving the whole nine yards means shooting someone into pieces, basically.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, wow. That's a lot cooler than it being a football reference.
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot cooler. Like, it's cool to shoot the crap out of somebody.
Right.
It's much more interesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I learned that from watching Pawn Stars.
Ah, there you go. See, reality TV is good for something.
Yeah. So I guess in conclusion, there's two things that takeaways I have in this. One is I don't belong to organizations because organizations have to think collectively. There are ways to not be collective in them, and I explore them in my book, A User's Manual for the Human Experience, which I will link in the show notes. And I really don't think you can say someone is bad for liberty because of something they're saying. Like, I don't think Cantwell is damaging liberty. I take the AA tack. There's something in the AA literature about, you know, we're not afraid of you no matter how twisted you are. We can help you or whatever. And I'm not saying Cantwell needs help or needs AA, but I guess he's quit drinking and his writing has gotten better. But I will say, I think no individual can harm liberty, and the mainstream press will paint things bad anyway. I mean, they tried to say that that guy that shot those that congresswoman was a libertarian, and he was nothing like that, you know?
So well, here's the way I look at it is the liberty mission, if you're Ben Stone, or the liberty movement, if you don't call it that, or whatever you want to call it. I think of it as the honest people in it are just seeking truth, and they find no truth in the modern left-right paradigm or the state itself. They find no truth there. And so they've come to liberty because what they're searching for is truth. And so the people that you say are bad for it, or the people who bring up bad ideas or who bring up violence or anything like that, their ideas will just get shed and sloughed off.
The market because the will movement take care has, of it. The movement is exactly. The market. Yeah. And,
It is. And people's desires within the movement are for the seeking truth and peace. And so the things that don't comply with that and the things that aren't consistent like with that will naturally fall off.
Worms. And the fiends say don't shoot government officials.
Yeah.
that's our final statement, too. We're weighing in on that. But yeah, worms, man. The market will take care of it, and no individual can harm liberty. And the mainstream press will try to harm liberty anyway, no matter how good you are in their eyes.
Worms.
Peace.
Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I own me and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission, and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Three times a week, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati share their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.